Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 169, day topping to you, Tom.
Wow. I got confused where you were going then.
Tried to just mix it up a little bit, but just ended up saying key words in the sentence instead of restructuring and saying something different.
Fair. Mm. What episode are we?
169. And what a show we've got for you today. I've got a quiz that is very G-rated.
Oh, that's good of you.
It's good. It's nice. Clean. We're going to be looking back at an old movie that is turning 30. Well, has just turned 30. I've got a cool little bit of kind of behind-the-scenes news about it. Well, cool. Not news, but facts, trivial sort of stuff. And I've been watching some stuff.
I have also watched things. I've got good. A few news stories.
We'll be WandaVisioning.
Yes.
As well, which will be a lot of fun. That was a big episode.
Lots happened, and it was long. The next few, the last few are all long.
Yeah, they're all, I think, an hour-ish each,
well,
which is...
minus 7 minutes of credits.
Why are they so long?
A lot of credits.
They feel like they're almost as long as video game credits that can go for 20 minutes.
I have a feeling it's because they used a film production size thing to make a TV show.
Yep.
And so, you know, rules is rules. You've got to display the name of everyone who worked on it.
I guess it's fair. It's very
They are pretty cool credits
long.
Though.
Yeah, at least there's something in it for you. But well, to a certain point. And then they just show you Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. The local newspaper has uncovered an alarming amount of bad lip-syncing in an exclusive expose journalistic investigative report. Barry's Karaoke Song Bar have been rigging their weekly Thursday night Frank Sinatra impersonation competition. Owner Carrie has been mouthing along to actual proper audio of Blue Eyes himself. This is how he's won the first prize each week for the past 4.5 years. As the winner is given the chance to sing 4 songs in a row, all of which can be between 5 and 15 minutes long, other competitors are up in arms. They've been told to lower their arms and walk 2 doors down the road to Frankie's bar and karaoke joint instead. Frankie has long refused to even hold a microphone, much less pretend to sing into one. She also offers jugs of beer to the winner. The council's Parks and Recreation Department are urging prank phone callers to stop ringing them up and asking for Leslie Knope. While they too love the TV show, they don't want to have to deal with all of this nonsense anymore. They agree that one person's annoying is another's inspiring and heroic, but not in this case. So please, cut it out. It's Fashion Week's opening night tonight and organisers have brought out the big guns. The Sensible Shoes Catwalk Showcase is set to get chins wagging, eyebrows raising and feet itching to get into something really comfy and stylish. There's still some standing room tickets left, but you will be considered fashion tragics by everyone sitting in the front 2 rows. If you're able to deal with this, then doors open at 8:30. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville. Let's get straight into the news. Why don't you go first?
All right, I'll go first. So first thing, Disney, you know, they bought Fox and all the ancillary companies that come along with it and stuff like that. They've announced that they're shutting down Blue Sky Studios. They're the guys responsible for the Ice Age series. Mm-hmm. They did Rio, Spies in Disguise. The Will Smith is a Pigeon movie last year, I think it was. They also did Ferdinand, things like that. It's a real shame.
That is a shame.
Great people working there over the years and done some interesting stuff. They haven't had quite the same budgets as Pixar.
But, you know, they're still up there in the realm. Like Ice Age stuff is absolute classic. So what's happening? Are they just absorbing the employees and putting them into other?
They said that they will be looking for positions for key staff.
Oh, so that sounds like a lot of you are no longer employed. That's a shame.
It is a real shame.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were quite far along, you know, apparently like really close to finishing their next film and that
one. And they wouldn't let them finish it. I don't understand business, but I would be interested to find out what the train of thought there.
I imagine. So I don't know too much about the film that they were making, but I believe it was an adaptation of a comic about a transgender character.
Mm-hmm.
And it might just be that it was just something Disney doesn't want to put out on Disney Plus or things at the moment. And
so,
do you pay for something that then is going to sit finished but never but not released?
Done. Yeah, that's a bit rough. Wow, that's not cool. But on the, I was going to say flip side, but not really, but with that Fox stuff with Disney, I believe it's sometime in March, maybe the tail end of March, I want to say around the 23rd, but I could be getting the dates wrong, where we get all that extra stuff. So and we also get a price hike. But, I mean, it makes sense because you're getting
A lot more content. I think America is getting that content before us.
I think so.
I think they're getting it in a week or two or something like that. It'll be cool to just jump on and watch Die Hard or Alien or...
I scrolled through the list that got so enormous that I just scrolled, stopped looking. There's a lot.
It really justifies the purchase for everyone that signed up just for the shows. If you've got, like, it makes a lot of sense for me to have it because, I mean, sure, there wasn't tons between Mandalorian seasons 1 and 2.
Agreed.
Of new stuff. But the kids, you know, the girls got a lot of use out of it.
It's the back catalogue. It's being able to watch whatever you can think of. You're like, oh, I wouldn't mind watching. It's right there.
Oh, this is like 40 different hours of content of Winnie the Pooh, which is awesome. I can just put that on and get some quiet.
Enjoy Eeyore. So, yeah, lots happening around the Disney world at the moment. Look, I'm just going to move away from Disney for 1 second and sort of focus on Amazon Prime for a moment. I'm sure you saw this, but they're remaking Mr. and Mrs. Smith as a series with Donald Glover and Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Almost said a friend's name then.
Oops.
Yeah.
But I bet she'd appreciate the shout out.
Yeah, probably.
Starring in a movie, a show.
Yeah, a TV show. So I know that Amazon bloody love Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Mm-hmm. And how could you not want Donald Glover involved in something like this if you're making it? She's actually, she's co-creating the series. I was going to say the idea, but it's not. It was a movie first, obviously. And they've got Francesca Sloan, who has worked on Fargo, and she'll be serving as a showrunner. She's the co-creator. So awesome.
Are they writing it?
I couldn't see that.
I hope.
But I really hope so, because that's pedigree right there.
Yeah.
I'm actually really keen to watch this.
Who else would you add to that cast? Because it sounds like they're casting...
Well, you definitely, just judging by the casting and you know that she is heavily involved in it, you know it's going to have a very different feeling to the movie, I should say. But I'm really excited about that. I would like to see a completely different approach, and kind of like the Jumanji reboots.
Sure.
Where it's a real different approach and it freshened it up, gave it a whole new, brand new idea so that you're not comparing.
Yeah. I agree.
That's always an issue.
And that movie was fun, but no one's sitting around hoping that they, you know, that it's a golden statue. You can't change it or anything like that. No one cares.
Not at all.
So you can
not
just use
all.
That as a frame. Okay, they're both spies. They don't know. So it's True Lies.
Yeah.
What, you know, there's
yeah. So who else could be in there? Well, I know that I can't remember the name of the TV show right now, but it was on Amazon Prime. The Simon Pegg and Nick Frost.
Truth Seekers.
That's it. I think after its first season is gone, they could put those two blokes in.
Sure. Well, you've got to kind of have two sets of casts there. You've got to have their cover story friends, like their home
That's
life
right.
friends, and then you've got to have the people that manage them or you know.
Do you know who I'd like the home life neighbor friend? I'm picturing Kirsten Dunst in there.
Nice.
I think she could work well with those two.
Yep. I think the guy on the earpiece back in the van for Donald Glover, I think I would pick Blake Harrison, who was he was in the Inbetweeners and
the guy with the hair.
No, not
the other one.
The tall one.
Oh, the tall Neil. Bloke. Yeah, right. Yes. See, the funny thing is I was going to say Shaggy. What's his name from?
Matthew Lillard.
I was thinking
Ooh,
Matthew
that's
Lillard.
Good. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. And isn't it funny? They're both tall, quite lanky guys. Yep. Why do tall, lanky guys get stereotyped into these spy movies where they have to sit in a van the whole time?
Because they can't be the hero.
No, they can't, but they're helping.
Who does the music? Is it like a Lana Del Rey or even hipper than that?
I don't know. I
If it was 7 years ago, this would be Florence and the Machine's territory, but they're not hot enough now.
No. Who's English at the moment? I can only think of Arctic Monkeys, and they've been around for years and years and years.
Dua Lipa? No, if it's going to be young, it's going to be young blood or like someone truly young and hip.
I'm going to have to just go onto Spotify and have a look at the cool kids lists.
Grandson going, oh, look at me being, I'm down.
I don't even know what you're talking about. That's how down you are.
I'm absorbing Triple J through osmosis.
Yeah, I'm deeply impressed. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to watching this Mr. and Mrs. Smith reboot. Out of the two of Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, in terms of who would actually appear for a cameo, it's Brad Pitt, right?
100%.
She would not. No. She doesn't do that kind of.
And he's super involved in the executive production side of things. So I can see him having, you know, he would have had a producer credit on that film.
Yeah, I think so.
So I'd imagine that the rights of it somehow tied up with him and he can help facilitate that.
And we know he's done cameos before.
Mm-hmm.
I always think Deadpool, of course.
Wonder if they get, I don't know, if they've got a showrunner. It'll be interesting to see whether they have a consistent director or whether they're getting directors for hire in. You get Doug Liman, who directed Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
For the first episode, he's got to be the first and or the last.
He has directed a lot of pilot episodes. Quite often for a show that's an action-adventure type show, they will get a bigger name director to come and direct the pilot because it sets up the story. The rest of the makes episodes sense. Can just go from there.
Well, I remember looking at that Game of Thrones doco after Game of Thrones finished, and they only focused on the last season, I think. Yeah. And they were talking about, you know, for like the Battle of Winterfell, they got, I'm pretty sure it was the same director who did the Battle of the Bastards, you know. So they had directors ready for specific sorts of episodes, which, I mean, makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, Good Place did that as well.
They
used specific things for when they wanted to pull certain narrative levers and stuff like that.
Heartstrings and,
They knew which director could get the best out of each storyline and stuff.
Nailed it. Yeah, for sure.
More ticklish than Elmo. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I was kind of bummed out to see that Brooklyn Nine-Nine will be ending again.
Do you reckon this is the last?
Yep.
It's been a while. How many seasons now?
So this will be season 8 that they're getting to do. It's only going to be 10 episodes. It sounds like they've had a really rough go because they started production and then got shut down for COVID.
Yep.
And then all the Black Lives Matter stuff happened and everyone started questioning whether you could actually do a workplace comedy about lovable cops in that climate. And it's a tough one because that show has covered a lot of diversity issues and, you know, done some pretty hardcore stuff around that sort of subject. But Terry Crews said that they threw out a bunch of the scripts and just started fresh. And so they're happy to be ending after those 10 episodes. They've done something like 153 episodes after that. So they're fine. They're in syndication. They were cancelled and brought back for, I think, 2 more seasons. It's a bummer, but, you know.
All good things have to come to an end. COVID, I remember, hit Superstore as well. They were going to go gangbusters into their – well, what ended up being their final season, and it just wreaked havoc. And I think it's not uncommon.
You're starting to see it play out in shows. Like I've been watching The Goldbergs, and The Goldbergs hasn't been good in a while.
Yeah, right.
They're on season 8 as well or something like that, and it's retreading a lot of storylines and this sort of stuff. But it's really noticeable because the granddad on that show, who used to be a really important part and involved in all the family scenes, now seems to only ever interact with the youngest son or the mother.
Interesting.
And it's like they've made a decision that that's his bubble.
Yep.
He has scenes with them, not in the house with the rest of the characters. Like it's only if you're watching to notice that sort of stuff that you do notice. So everyone's adjusting differently to what these, you know, what the weird times demand.
Yeah. And then on the flip side, I was thinking that it would be difficult because, okay, if they end these shows, what do they replace them with?
Yep.
Because they're ending a show because they can't make it due to COVID, well, they can't do a new thing due to COVID. So pickles everywhere.
You're starting to see that hammer a lot of, like what we were talking about with MTV.
You know what? I've switched over to MTV often during this week, and every single time it's been ridiculousness.
Yep,
crazy.
That's all it is.
Captain Marvel, it's in pre-production at the moment. Looks like they've got at least found a baddie and a director. I read on Deadline that I think you pronounce her name, it's Zawe, so Zor, I think. Zor Ashton. She'll be playing a villain. And I looked her up, and she's English. So she's been in a few different sort of English programs.
Wasn't she on Fresh Meat?
Yes, she was in Fresh Meat, Not Safe for Work. I'm pretty sure she was in a cop thing because I recognize her as a detective. Like, you'd know her. I know you would know her face, but I think a lot of listeners probably would as well. So that's pretty cool. It looks like it's going to be a huge breakout role for her.
Yeah, I kind of get vibes of, and I've forgotten her name, but the lady from Killjoys, who was in Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yes.
Same sort of thing of plucking a awesome UK female thespian. Mm-hmm. You know, someone who's
to the theatre.
Yeah, a lot of stage work and this sort of stuff, and giving them a really meaty role.
I think it's good. Yeah, and it's just exciting to know that another huge Marvel movie is being made, even if it's in pre-production. And Nia DaCosta will be directing it. She did the reboot of Candyman, so awesome.
Nice.
Looking great.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
In further news of English people coming over and stealing work from Americans.
Yes.
Toast is coming back.
This is probably like, so last week, all in one day, a whole heap of stuff happened.
Yep.
And we don't need to go through it all, but the one that I was most amped for was you telling me that Toast is coming.
I waited until it was a reasonable time to text you in the morning because I was up early with baby and saw that news and just, squealed with glee. So that's called Toast of Tinseltown. Toast goes to Hollywood.
Oh, it's perfect. It's perfect. You can't have a better, like, next step for this character.
Exactly. And, it won't impact on Shadows at all. Mm-mm. Because Shadows, they film across something like 6 or 8 weeks. They do it real tight.
It's really
together
weird. It's very
impromptu style. They haven't shared any details other than it's called Toast of Tinseltown and that Matt Berry is moving the production to Hollywood. And
I don't need anything else.
You don't need to know anymore.
I already know there's going to be cameos.
Will his agent go?
Oh, I hope so.
Or will she just be back on the phone?
Just always on the phone. Well, how many times did he show up in her office? Oh, a few times. But, yeah, just on the phone will be totally fine. I really hope, I can't remember his name right now, but his roommate, for no reason, no explanation given, just is there with him.
So Ray fucking Purchase. I know we're doing a G-rated quiz later. I'm sorry. But he doesn't need to go. I don't think he needs his rival to go because as soon as he arrives, he will find a rival there. And I was saying this to you that my hope is that they cast a former SNL great, but someone like a Chris Parnell, like someone who's a really solid hitter that you see in tons of stuff.
Yep.
Who gets lots of work. And the joke needs to be that this is a person who gets lots of work and I want them to go in for a voiceover gig doing an English accent against Matt Berry and get the job over him, and that's why
Chris Parnell will be perfect for that.
So I want someone like that. I could a Horatio Sands or someone who was late 90s, early 2000s SNL that's not Will Ferrell level.
And we need this character, whether it be a guy or a girl, we need them to be kind of like Egg Helms was in Auntie Donna, like really super involved, always coming and going out of episodes.
Yep, and oblivious. I want them that LA fakeness to just really irk Toast, and he can't get on board with it, and he can't wrap his head around the fact that that's just how people in LA are.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a lot of potential.
So excited about that. Of course, we had all the other news as well, but that was the one that I was like,
oh. Well, could it be like extras? Do you think they could have celebs rolling in all the time? Because that show is beloved.
Honestly, that show is beloved. And the fact that he is, attached to What We Do in the Shadows, they have some stellar cameos as well.
I'm going to say it right now. I think there's a good chance they'll either get, and like Elijah Wood, would be awesome, but I think they could get Daniel Radcliffe. He'd be a fan of this show for sure.
Almost like maybe Toaster's had too much of that fake Hollywood type, and he sees Daniel Radcliffe as English. He's like, oh, thank goodness you're here. But then he's really fake as well or something. Yeah.
Maybe he mistakes Elijah Wood for Daniel
even
Radcliffe.
Even better. That's brilliant.
Do you think Clem H. Fandango will
100%
go across?
Surely, right? I'd be disappointed if he's not. I think I said that to you, didn't I? I was like, he's got to be
even
there.
If he doesn't go, maybe they can just have one bit where Toaster's got to do some recording via Zoom.
Yeah.
With
and
London
he can't hear
4 hours apart.
You've muted yourself.
What?
You've muted yourself.
Yes, I can hear you, Clem Fandango. Oh, man, so good.
Very exciting news. So Silence of the Lambs turned 30 years old.
Huh.
Good thing about like when these anniversaries come around is you always get people who worked in the production to start giving some behind the scenes stories. And I saw on Twitter they had released some footage of Anthony Hopkins trying on different masks.
Ooh.
For Hannibal Lecter's character. And Christy Zia, who was a production designer there, she said that they wanted to pick the right mask for this bloke. Like, and it was actually an interesting dilemma. They started off with almost like those hockey masks, like the gridiron sort of mask. Yep. Where it's like mesh metal, and they kind of wanted something along the lines of like it could be a fencing mask, but it's not at the same time. In the end, they had one where they had made it. It was like silicon or something like that. It was a fiberglass mask, and they were like, "Can you just try it on just to see if it fits?" It wasn't finished yet, and they went, "Actually, that's it. Keep it unfinished like that. That's it." The costume designer, Colleen Atwood, was talking about basically how she dressed everyone. She said she didn't want it to look of its time. She wanted it so that the clothes and the fashion could last for 10 years. So someone sure. watching it 10 years later would be like, oh, yeah, this is right. But when dressing Anthony Hopkins for the prison, I think it was only the prison scenes in Silence yep. of the Lambs, yeah, they wanted him to wear them like it was his choice.
Okay.
When you look at photographs of it, it's true. Remember, he had his hair slicked back. That would have been a choice of the character to feel in control. You know, like his shirt was always tucked in. He was very neat. It was almost like even though these clothes are issued to him, he's still holding control of his situation. Yeah, super interesting. I love stuff like
sure,
that.
Nice.
It's really good. And 30 years old. It's been a while since I watched it.
Some of it's a bit problematic today, everything around Buffalo Bill.
I still remember that. No, I won't in case of a spoiler, but one of the victims, I was like, don't get in that thing. No spoilers. But, yeah, cool. And, of course, you know, other big news we don't want to talk about too much, but – Game of Thrones alumni,
yes,
Bella
sure.
Ramsey, Pedro Pascal, Joel and Ellie in the Last of Us HBO series, which is really exciting, and also Jack Black will be Claptrap in Borderlands.
I did see that. That's good casting. Bizarre.
It's not surprising. It's like, of course he is.
Claptrap is basically who he behaves like on his YouTube channel.
Yeah, so they've nailed it.
Yeah, nice.
Quiz coming up for us very soon. I did say G-rated. It's totally G-rated. Let's get into some watching suggestions.
Get out of my newsroom.
Yeah, you silly people.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Of course, we'll be talking about WandaVision, but we'll do that later. But we keep forgetting to talk about the movie Soul.
Sure. I watched that a while ago now.
I watched it a week after you told me to watch it.
Sure.
So it's been a while. Lovely movie.
Wasn't it? We watched that on Christmas Day because it was a Christmas Day present from Disney Plus.
Perfect. Thanks, Disney. Tina Fey, lovely. The whole thing was lovely.
Lovely is a really good way to describe it. It was sad. There was some strong melancholy through there. But, you know, Disney's rule was you can't earn a laugh without a tear, and that's definitely how that film acts. You know, there's some great laughs through there and stuff, but yeah, there's a lot of it that's very reflective.
But you're right, the balancing, I think they got the balance spot on for it. I didn't leave the movie feeling like sad. I left it feeling fulfilled, I think is probably.
That's a really good way to put it because sometimes those movies, you know, up Umbrellas, like not umbrella, the balloon stuff at the beginning with is fun, but you've got that heavy 10 minutes first that as an adult stays with you and stuff.
I haven't watched up since, and I think it's because of that.
I have. I tend to skip through that first bit. When just start when the balloons go. But yeah, look, I had a lot of fun with Soul. I thought it was it was a lovely movie. It was just nice.
And lovely design too. I thought, you know, him and also the, you know, all the souls were really different.
Yeah.
But it managed to merge in really well together.
And there was some very interesting casting with the voices of the heavenly bodies or, you know, the adjudicators and things like that. You had, what's her name? Rachel Dawes, I think. Who
I
was,
thought you say Rachel Dratch for a second.
No. I did see her in something else the other day.
Oh, really?
Yes. She was in Hunt for the Wilder People. And
oh, yeah, that's right. I looked her up because I was like, who is that? Rachel Howes, yeah.
That's it, yes. Yeah. So she's Tyker casts her in everything, as he should.
Yeah, she's perfect.
Lucky charm.
She's amazing. I did hear Richard Ayoade. I was like, I'm just going to check IMDb because I'm almost convinced that's the voice of, and it was.
Do you reckon he went over to LA for a 3-week stint and recorded that at the same time he was doing stuff for Mando?
That would make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And be around the same time too.
Yeah.
Did you go through IMDb? Because Felicia Rashad is in there as well. She played Claire Huxtable.
Sure.
Yeah. And I went, oh, good. Wasn't your fault. Glad you're getting work. Yeah. But yeah, huge cast of different people. Another voice that I recognize was like, that's David Diggs.
Sure.
Don't even pretend. I think he was.
For me, that was Graham Norton.
Oh, yeah, Graham Norton. That's right.
As soon as he came in, it's like, this there is the is. James Corden stunt casting. Get an English person.
Quick English man. Lovely movie. What else have you watched this week?
I've been watching a show called Resident Alien. It's a new show on Sci-Fi. I caught the first 3 episodes. It stars Alan Tudyk, voice of K2SO, and Mr. Nobody on Doom Patrol, Steve the Pirate in Dodgeball.
He's on that's right.
Wash on Firefly. He's been in so many things that you know and love. And he can play a real oddball. So this show, it feels kind of like... Do you remember Northern Exposure?
Yep.
It's kind of this sort of vibe. So it's a small...
I like that vibe.
Small mountain town in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
He is the town doctor, but not really. He's actually an alien who came to Earth and crashed here. He was planning to destroy the planet. And his doomsday weapon has scattered across the frozen tundra. And when he crashed, he tried to seek shelter in a barn and... the town doctor came to shoo him away and he murdered the town doctor and stole the body. Unfortunately, and stole his appearance. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the body washed, disappeared into the snow and is now somewhere in a starting to thaw lake.
So he's got to hang around.
So he's going to try and find this body. The town doctor was also the town psychologist and seemingly also helped the coroner regularly. So
busy man, never had any time off.
So it's this weird mix of like a detective comedy show mixed with a little bit of House, like a weirdo making medical proclamations that shouldn't make sense.
Yeah.
And the whole time he's doing an internal monologue, completely alien style of not understanding what humans are about. And he's trying to learn and... emotions are clearly infecting him from taking the appearance of one of us.
Huh.
And so he is losing his sense of self, but because as an alien without emotions, he never had a sense of self to begin with. So it is way headier than I expected it to be.
I like the sound of this.
It is really good.
It sounds a bit up my alley, I think.
I think you'd really enjoy it. It's
yeah.
Funny, but there's also some like, whoa, moments. Mm.
And a premise that sounds super original.
Yeah.
In that, you know, all the different pieces have that's what created I mean. And this
so,
new thing.
So it keeps getting more and more convoluted for him.
Yeah.
That he says very early on that about 1 in 1 million, when they visit other planets, 1 in 1 million of the native species will have something wrong with their eyes that allows them to see them. And unfortunately, in the town he's in, there's a 9-year-old
I was going to say, it has to be a kid. Yeah.
9-year-old shit-stirring kid.
Great.
who sees him and is terrified of him at first.
Yeah.
And then decides to blackmail him.
Brilliant. A 9-year-old. Wonderful. That's great.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch this. Let's check it out.
So I think there's going to be 8 or 10 episodes, something like that. 45-minute episodes.
Awesome.
Without ads.
That's a good time.
Well worth your time.
Yeah.
Resident Alien.
Good time length. I started watching a show that kept flicking up on my Netflix. You know how they keep recommending stuff? Firefly Lane. And I was like, I'm not sure if I want to watch it because Katherine Heigl's in it and I've never really been keen on her. But then Sarah Chalke's in it. And she's cool.
She is cool.
So I decided to give it a go. It's also got Ben Lawson in it.
Okay.
Brother of Josh. Yeah, Josh. And he gets to keep his Aussie accent.
Nice.
And so it's set in the early 2000s, I think about 2003. But it flashes back to the 70s and it flashes somewhere in the 80s as well. And it basically follows Katherine Heigl's character, Tully, and Kate, which is Sarah's character, through their friendship. They met when they were teenagers. They ended up pursuing journalism and reporting and stuff. And they were in a small, I think it was in Tacoma or something like that. I feel like I want to say
that makes sense.
Yeah. So they were on a news channel there, you know, in the 80s.
Sure.
And that's where they meet Ben. And it's definitely not for you. I mean, the fact that I said Katherine Heigl immediately was not a thing. But I think it's interesting in that it follows, if you have a friend who you've known for years and years and years, and you've, I mean, these two have been in each other's back pockets, but if you have a friend who even you've come in and out of each other's lives throughout, you know, 20 years or whatever, I think this will resonate with you a little bit, that good friends or even family members who, you know, like it can be your best friend as well, but like good friends who are there for you and it's really easy to be with them and they will always have your back, but sometimes they can't help it. It might be their personality or circumstances, but they will hurt you as well. It's the show that I've been watching just before I get ready to go to bed. I haven't seen the end of the season, but from what I've read, there's a bit of a cliffhanger, so they definitely want a second series.
All right.
But Sarah Chalke.
Can't go wrong.
Every time I see her, I think, you have been in so many huge things. Do you remember she was Becky number 2? It's the first time I remember seeing her.
She was on The Boo, which was the first things that The Lonely Island ever made.
Boo.
The Boo. It was a piss take of The OC.
The Malibu. I have to watch that. And, of course, her years and years in Scrubs, which was absolute classic. So, yeah, if you can look past the Katherine Heigl thing. I don't know if she plays herself in stuff on. I don't know, but there's something. The actress they got to play her as a teenager, sound and look almost exactly the same. I'm sure they've done something, but it's very impressive regardless.
Nice.
Yeah. Anything else?
Yes. I've been listening to something.
Ooh, do go on.
A little bit different, but I've been building a bit of Lego this week and this sort of stuff. So I'm trying to find some more, not necessarily podcasts, but some audiobooks and stuff to listen to. And I found a treasure trove of BBC radio shows released as audiobooks, which is great. But I have been absolutely loving, so you know I love the show Taskmaster.
Yep.
And the secondary host, who's actually the creator and the writer and everything behind the scenes, is a guy named Alex Horn. And he's been around for He's been around for about 10 years, but he has a band called Alex Horn and the Horn Section. And it's him and five guys, you know, saxophonist, pianist, guitar, bass guitar, and trumpet? I don't know.
I would hope there's a trumpet.
Yes. They all play different instruments and stuff, but they do these live shows. So I bought the complete series. So it was series 1 through 3, 9.5 hours of 25-minute episodes. And they kind of do like live jazz with telling some jokes over at the beginning. Mm. And then they do spotlights on instruments and do funny stuff with those instruments. They have a celeb or another comedian come in and do something with the band.
Yep.
So it's just like an old school live review show.
I don't know why, but I'm kind of getting I don't know why, but that Jules Holland
there's a
thing,
bit of that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that vibe. There's a bit of Michael Bublé in there. but it's all done via the lens of, imagine if Simon Pegg was a lot more insecure. It's this you know, this heightened version of himself that Alex plays.
Yep.
Says the silliest jokes, but says it so straight faced. And yet on the flip side, when he interviews people, will intentionally stammer and make himself, he just matches up to the music that the guys will add behind.
Because when you were saying that, I was like, I don't understand what this means. But at the same time, I'm kind of, the way you're describing it, I kind of get it.
It's this freeform jazz comedy experiment thing. And just in the same way that you've got the five musicians all playing off each other, the comedian plays off the audience and what the musicians provide and stuff. And, you know, if someone's telling a story and a gun gets fired, then one of the musicians will quickly do something to replicate that story. Yeah, it just heightens it all the time.
That sounds really interesting. So you're just listening to this where?
I bought it through iTunes or iBooks. Okay.
Yeah, right. So it's available pretty much everywhere then.
Yeah. And there's tons of these, you know, there's plenty of Have I Got News For You and all those sorts of newsy type ones.
Yeah.
But this is completely timeless. It's not matched to any timing things. There's one series that was recorded at live at the Edinburgh Fringe. The rest of them were recorded somewhere at BBC Studios with a live audience.
Oh, so it's always got a live audience.
Oh, yeah, because they need to feed.
Yep, fair.
It's
so they wouldn't be making it now?
No.
That's a shame.
No, I think they stopped making the series in about 2017.
All right.
He's been busy on Taskmaster. He's been doing lots of Taskmaster tasks while locked.
That's a sentence I'm not going to try and say. He's been doing a lot of
Taskmaster. He's been doing a lot of Taskmaster tasks while lockdown has been happening. He's been setting them via Twitter for people.
Fun.
Yeah, for the wide community.
Able to pivot was the word last year. Pivot. I watched Like a Boss, which has Rose Byrne, Tiffany Haddish, and Selma Hayek.
Selma.
And I was like, what? Your hair is ridiculous. Long? You're having a lot of fun.
Long hair? Or which one are you talking about? Tiffany? Because Tiffany's hair's wild at the moment.
Tiffany had her hair... No. It was tied back and she was wearing a weave because at one point in time she took it out and asked a lady to hold it for
her.
But Salma Hayek has got like this big sort of orange hair. They've put contact lenses in.
Like Dragon Ball Z or?
Kind of think like 90, like in Bundy? Mad Men. No, in Mad Men. Do you remember what was her name?
No, I didn't watch Mad Men.
Okay. Well, just think a 1960s big hair situation. And I'm like, but there's something else funny. And it took me about 20 minutes to figure out they've given a false teeth so that it's almost buck teeth but not quite. I'm like, what's something else? She's having a lot of fun. That movie is stupid in the dumbest possible way but it's very funny.
Okay.
I never would have thought that Tiffany and Rose would be a good combination and they play so completely differently.
Rose is one of the best team players out there. I have never seen her not elevate someone else.
And at the same time, she manages to play a different character in everything. Yep. You think about her in Bridesmaids versus something like this. It's a completely different character.
Peter Rabbit, Bad Neighbor.
Bad Neighbor, that's right. It all works so well. So they're supposed to be best friends who own this cosmetic company and it's not doing so well. And Selma Hayek is like a huge billionaire mogul of a bigger company and she absorbs them into it. But she keeps changing the terms all the time. Oh, madness, madness. Stupid fun. All three of them are enjoying the hell out of it. You can tell that they are all there at work, you know, doing it, but you know they're there also just to have fun with each other.
Do you think any of them signed on because they thought the movie was going to be called Boss Bitch? Because I'm telling you, at some point that film was written to be called Boss Bitch.
And that would have worked perfectly.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's a power, you know, that's a, what's the term I'm looking for in my mind? You take ownership, take it back.
Yeah, you take it back. It's like, you're badass. You're a badass. And yeah, silly movie, fun.
I hope Lizzo was on the soundtrack.
She probably was. I didn't pay attention, but she probably was. If not, listen to her in the background while you watch it. Anything else you've been watching?
Yes, I know I talked about this a few weeks ago. I saw the trailer, but I finally got to see the first two episodes of a show called Fast Foodies. I really enjoyed it. It's only half hour episodes. The first episode is Joel McHale. The second one was Bobby Lee, formerly of Mad TV and all sorts of other funny stuff. He is a lot of energy, a very big character.
To the point where you're like, oh, gosh, I need to lie down after watching him.
Yes. So it's two winners from MasterChef, I think,
yep.
And another one from Iron Chef. I think that's where they're from. I don't know, but they're three very affable, easygoing chefs. And the idea of the show is that the celebrity brings in their favorite fast food item from anywhere in the world. These guys have to reproduce it to the best of their abilities. And then once they know exactly what the ingredients were to produce it, mm-hmm. remix it and do something completely different that still tastes similar or recalls the taste.
It almost sounds like a quick fire challenge on Top Chef, but like if they have actual time.
Oh, and the stuff is crazy. The first, Joel McHale brought in a really fancy hot dog from Chicago. Bobby Lee brought in McDonald's sausage and egg McMuffin.
Oh, yeah, nice.
And the hot dog one was very cool, but I haven't had that personal hot dog. I don't know exactly what it tastes. Whereas watching a show where you know exactly the taste.
That's interesting.
This is where I wanted to get to with all of this.
Yeah.
Because every other cooking show you're watching, you're like, oh, I bet that tastes good.
Mm.
But you know exactly what that sausage and egg McMuffin tastes like because it tastes the same everywhere in the world. So watching them recreate it and then you could kind of be on board with them judging the aesthetics for it because you can be like, it doesn't look like the picture and this sort of – it was cool.
And how close did they get for that one?
Really pretty close. Awesome. The recreation, one of them was pretty spot on for the recreation and then the remixes afterwards were insane. And like one of them turned it into a pasta dish with the tomato served as a froth.
Okay.
Yep.
It's very fancy.
Oh, also another one added truffle and caviar to make a brioche omelette.
That's very fancy.
And another one somehow condensed the sausage patty into like bacon flakes.
Oh, wow.
And used it flakes.
So the texture being completely different then.
Yeah, yeah. And made like a mornay, like a really cheesy porridge type thing. It was insane. And that second round with the remix, you still, because it's still the same taste,
you still feel like you're along the line. Yeah, that's cool.
It was really cool.
It's true. That's the one thing that you're missing in a lot of these cooking shows that you're not part of the taste or you're not part of the smell. But to be able to sit there and go, well, I know what that tastes like.
Yep. And it's just the fact that they're not saying we're making a sausage muffin. They're saying this is a McDonald's sausage and egg McMuffin. You've got the correlation in your mind. And it looks like later episodes we're going to get pizza. Maybe a doner kebab.
Burger?
There'll be burger at some point, I'm sure. There's certain ones I would love for them to try and do KFC, but I'm sure there's some sort of proprietary concerns around their 11 secret herbs and spices.
Because what if they nail it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was very interesting, like, you know, the secret ingredients in the McDonald's patty is a lot of thyme, a lot of sage.
Okay.
Those are the spices.
Herbs.
Yeah.
Wow.
Those are the ones that give it its kick. So you go, learning things.
I want to eat one now that you're talking about it. Basically, what I've come away from our watching suggestions so far is everything you've said I need to now watch. Far out.
I've had a big week. It's been good.
Yeah, it sounds like a very productive week. Because sometimes, you know, you watch, I know that you're the same. We watch stuff and I go, I don't really want to talk about this. Or it's not worth it.
Yep. You've put in 2 or 3 hours watching something. You're like, I enjoyed it, but. And it's not with a context that anyone else has.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, you're done good, kid.
Thanks.
anything else or should we WandaVision ourselves?
Let's wander.
Still trying to make Fetch happen? You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Okay, so we need to talk about Vision.
Mm.
I felt very much that it was his episode.
Mm-hmm.
As well as also Pietro, you know the question I'm going to ask you, and I think I should ask it first.
Go.
which bad guy, which villain is pretending to be her brother?
Well,
it can't, like, he's a bad guy, right? Do you think he's a bad guy? I think he's a bad guy.
It's an interesting one because he is not our Pietro, as we know, but he does have the impish behavior that that X-Men universe Pietro or Peter does have. It could very well be that there's someone masquerading as him, but so much of what he was saying was the stuff that would be running through your internal monologue if you're questioning yourself in that situation. So it may be that he is just a weird, twisted projection of her insecurities that someone else is manipulating. It's a tough one because it feels like someone's wearing a mask is too easy. You know what I mean? If it's someone just pretending, but if there's a bit of a mix of things happening, you know, everyone's saying it might be Mephisto. That I'm over that. There's been too many jokes about that. There's people saying it might be Nightmare. There's all these different people that it could be.
So are you saying that he, like Pietro that we're seeing, is still in her head? So she projected him out, but the manipulation, because she's not quite even sure why she's doing it still. As she said that a couple of times. You think that someone's got the puppet strings
and
that could be the big bad?
Yes, I think someone is manipulating her grief and her, you know, everything in there is wish fulfillment. She thinks the life that she wanted keeps getting ripped away from her. Mm. So now she's going to keep recreating it. She might not be in control of that or know what kind of power she's plugged into or something along those lines. But I don't, like, a few weeks ago I thought it might have been that she's just pulled him in from a different reality. But the more, I don't know, the fact that Vision got out and instantly started breaking down, just like if he'd been dusted in Endgame, it wasn't that he broke down into robotic bits or fell dead with the whole, he literally started recreating the Thanos dust stuff.
Yep.
He never got dusted.
No.
So there's weirdness going on.
And that wasn't her, he was outside of her control. So that was what happens in the universe. I don't know how to describe it, but yeah.
And then something's got to happen with Monica crossing back over. They've made it very clear in the comics. She becomes Photon. She's also known as Captain Marvel for a while. She's Spectrum. She has a lot of different code names.
Do you think she'd be Captain Marvel if there's already a Captain Marvel?
No, they won't go that
confusing
angle.
Right?
Yeah. I'll be interested to see what happens to Darcy now that she's crossed over. I like the fact that she went to say and the world turned it into fudge. That was a wonderful moment.
That was fun.
It will be interesting to see whether she's in a waitress outfit pretending to be on Two Broke Girls.
Please, please make that a thing.
Likewise, the guy, Randall Park, Jimmy Woo, so he was on Fresh Off the Boat. He could appear that way. But he was also Asian Jim on one episode of The Office, or like when they got new staff members in, he was sitting at Jim's desk for a while and Dwight didn't notice and was like, "What? You look different." He's like,
"I'm a different person."
I'm a different person. But good on you for not noticing race.
That's great.
They've got some good sitcom pedigree in there with a few more characters. It'd be interesting to see if they get swept up and stuff. Whether there is a chance that this may lead into mutations. If that's what's happening to people when they cross through the barrier, then surely all the people inside, maybe something's happening to them. Maybe Darcy will become a mutant.
Cool.
This could be a way of introducing mutants into the MCU.
Yeah.
Originally I thought it'd been that she'd bring them over from another universe, but what if in fact she somehow warped this bubble?
She's created them. Mm. Interesting when Vision, it really felt like a video game when he went past where the stories happen and everyone's just
in the loops.
Yeah, just there. But also when he saw the neighbor whose name I always forget.
Agnes.
When Agnes was just sitting there in her Volvo. That was interesting because I thought she was more in control and aware of the situation.
Some people are saying that she only ever really appears when Vision is questioning something and then she seems to lead him further astray. If you look back through things, there's a bit of that timing. So I saw someone suggest that maybe she'd driven herself out there in order to make things more difficult for Vision and then say the stuff that she did that made him question things further. I don't know.
Cool.
The bit that I got a real kick out of when she was talking with Pietro,
yeah,
and that one of the kids said something was kick-ass, then Pietro said kick-ass and ran off, and she said kick-ass. So the guy that originally played Quicksilver was kick-ass in Kick-Ass.
Oh, that's a good little...
And the guy playing Pietro now was Kick-Ass's best friend.
That's a nice little reference there. I like that kind of stuff.
It was just the slyest little shout-out. Mm. It was very cool.
So we've got three more episodes, I think?
So, yeah. I think so. And they're all meant to be long.
I have no idea where it's going to go.
I feel like whatever big bad gets revealed, if we do get a big bad, is not being dealt with in this. Because this leads into Doctor Strange 2 and other things like that, then we've got the potential to set up another Thanos-style big scary bad that can appear across TV shows and movies and things like that.
It's such a fun show.
It is.
It's such a fun show. Are you ready to have fun with a quiz?
Oh, can we please?
What is this Disney sidekick? What sort of animal or creature were these Disney sidekicks?
Wow. Okay. Wow. This is very G-rated.
But I told you.
I feel like I may know a few here.
I'd be very surprised if you don't get most of them.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Dory from Finding Nemo.
Ooh, Dory is a regal tang.
One, you know the movie. Two, you know fish. So, for anyone else, that wouldn't be low hanging fruit. But yeah, okay. What about Little John and Robin Hood? Do you remember?
Little John and Robin Hood is a bear.
Yes, nice one. That's all you need to say.
Oh,
what color?
Gray.
Brown.
I was in a public speaking competition when I was 11.
Yeah.
I was up against 18-year-olds. It was a state championship thing. And we had to do an impromptu speech. And I got given the topic that Robin Hood was a hero. And being only 11, the only Robin Hood I'd seen was a fox. So I got up in front of 300 people and gave a speech about how we shouldn't be rude to foxes. Especially when they've got great mates that are bears and like oversized chickens and stuff.
That's brilliant.
It brought the house down.
And you didn't know why.
I won.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good. Okay. Figaro and Pinocchio.
Figaro is a donkey.
Cat, black and white cat.
Oh.
So you always think Jiminy Cricket, right? Well, I do.
No, I was thinking the fucked up donkey thing.
Yeah, right, okay. Isn't that weird? We had both blocked out the cat.
Is a lot of that movie worth blocking out? Been eaten by a whale, been turned into... Yeah. Well, you got me there. Good work.
Thanks so much. Did you see the movie Tangled?
I did. Chameleon. It wasn't going to be the horse.
No, it was never going to be Pascal.
Yeah, Pascal's
awesome. Oh, that was gold. Zazu in The Lion King.
Is a hornbill.
Yes, perfect. Once again, I was like, I just go bird. But
kings
you-
don't need advice from little hornbills for a start.
Perfect. An easy one for the end. Sven in Frozen.
Is he an elk?
Reindeer.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's correct. You nailed it.
You got me with one. Me with the Pinocchio one. It's not a real boy. It's not a real question.
But at the same time, I didn't even – you answered the chameleon question before. That's a win in my book. That was.
Look, there are some Disney films where who you're going to say could be anything, like Little Mermaid. There are a lot of options who fit the animal sidekick
Thumper
is.
And Bambi.
That's it.
I was like, that's a bit easy.
Cinderella. A lot of different mice and this sort of stuff.
Yeah, true, true.
But Tangled has got a horse that don't talk and a chameleon who's very emotive.
Yeah, yeah. On that note, Tom, thank you very much.
I froze. Can we go again? I was still thinking about Tangled.
Mm,
Don't do this to me.
I think this is going to be the end.
No, do it. Go back. I've got one now.
Tom, thank you very much.
169.